time. There's like two, there's one like kind of primary goal of this meeting, which is a we have to vote on, we want to review our 2014 or the first three quarters of 2014 budget versus expected versus actuals. That was in the attachment I sent. And then we're going to ask the board to vote on our budget for 2015. I think we should get those out of the way first, and then we can give a more general update on GiveWell's progress this year and general plans for next year. Does that sound good? Cool.
Sure.
Great. So does anyone have any questions on, to start, the 2014 budget comparing the first three quarters of the actuals versus our projected expenses? Great. If there's, I mean, I don't know that there's that much to discuss. Yeah, go ahead,
The
Phil.
biggest discrepancy is payroll. Yeah, what the payroll's well under budget. What's the story there?
I mean, we projected out more hires than we ended up making. And that, you know, we tried to be, you know, err on the side of projecting more hires. So this, you know, we just didn't hire as many people as we thought we might have.
We've generally kind of done that. I mean, we try to project an aggressive hiring picture because we definitely don't want to like not be able to make a hire because we didn't budget for it. And so we've most of our budget updates have come in under budget for that reason.
It's Rob who's just called in. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Rob. So we just got started talking about the budget, and we're on the topic of the 2014 actuals versus projected expenses. And so there's
Got
nothing,
it. Okay.
just want to see if anyone has any questions on that.
And could you, what's the headcount of GiveWell now between employees and if there's full-time contractors and so on?
So the full headcount is there's we're 19 full-time people right now. And there are a number of people who are contractors, some of whom are included in this budget and some of whom are not, and I'll explain the difference. The contractors included in this budget are what, you know, is row six, the conversation notes writers. These are people who work remotely and take recordings of conversations we have with outside experts and put together publishable summaries of those conversations. The contractors who are not included in this budget are paid for by a research grant from Good Ventures, and those are contractors who are explicitly working on open philanthropy-related work. And they run the gamut from across like different parts of that work, from science to history of philanthropy to more general reviews of literature. And yeah, so they're not included here because this budget is focused on unrestricted funding of GiveWell's. So any other questions? I mean, there's not that much. Any other questions on the 2014 budget? Cool. So let's move on to just the 2015 budget. So that's the next tab in the spreadsheet. And so, I mean, we're asking the board to approve this budget for 2015. I think the major things to note are that, you know, we continue to project some significant hiring over the course of this year. We're, you know, overall projecting total expenses of $2.27 million against projected revenues of $2.16 million. So we see there's a small gap between our projected revenues and expenses. We currently hold about $1.6 million in reserves, and you know we anticipate that growing to about $2.2 million by the end of December, because this is the month when most of our funding comes in. In addition to ongoing hiring, the biggest additional expense from what we've talked about in the past is that we're expecting to do a major redesign of the GiveWell website and build out the Open Philanthropy website over the next 4 months. And the total cost for that project is going to be $225,000. We're expecting the plan is for Good Ventures to pay for the portion of that is the Open Philanthropy website, which is half, and for GiveWell unrestricted funding to pay for the other half, $112,500, which is for the GiveWell website redesign. The way in which we went through a process of selecting firms, we started with firms that, you know, some that one that was recommended by Carrie, another that was recommended by a GiveWell donor who worked in tech and had a good relations with a design firm. And then we also solicited a few other recommendations. And after looking at the basically two of them were going to charge us significantly more than the place we ultimately settled. And then we basically decided between the final three proposals and all pretty much in the same price range. And so that's where we are. I mean, we think we could do this cheaper if necessary. But you know, we think it's been a long time since we've put significant resources into our website. And it's time for a refresh of what's there. In particular, next year we expect several books to come out that are on the topic of effective altruism, and you know, they will link to and discuss GiveWell. And so we want to, while there kind of has been this general clock that's been ticking for redesigning the website, the reason we are putting this work in now as opposed to at some later date is to get in front of this this publicity that's coming out next year. So I'll pause there and see if anyone has any questions on the 2015 budget.
So, Tom, two hopefully simple questions. The first is general sense about what your fundraising capability is going into 2015, based on what's happened this year and what you expect to happen in December. And then is second question is on the OPP website and other OPP projects. Is it all going to be 50-50? Is there any sort of any sort of variation on that, and is there any basis for variation on that?
Okay, so I'll answer the fundraising question first. We don't yet have any like major new information about revenues relative to what we discussed in August. So on a sort of ongoing basis, our projection of revenues is in the, you know, that number that's there for 2015, around $2.2 million. I think we will know a lot more after December when we see how donations came through, both, you know, any new donors who could give substantially or previous donors who, you know, we don't know whether or not they'll renew their gifts. We certainly hope they do, and that will give us more information about whether they will. And we'll have to make the decision then about whether we want to, you know, significantly ramp up the time we put into fundraising in order to raise more, or maintain the status quo where, you know, what we anticipate is about that amount of fundraising. Does that answer your question, Tom?
Yeah, I think to the extent that you have information, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And then, yeah, I mean, I think the basic plan with the website is 50-50. We took this to the firms we went to as like two projects that they would be working on simultaneously. I don't know. We could, if it seemed worth it, like really try to better allocate the costs to GiveWell versus OpenPhil. And I don't know like how that would turn out.
But just to be clear, I mean, maybe there isn't any confusion about this, but Good Ventures is paying for the Open Philanthropy Project website, and GiveWell is paying for the GiveWell website, with GiveWell general funds, which we also contribute to. And then just in terms of, like, how much time the firm will spend on one project versus the other, and whether we should try and come up with like
a more precise
allocation. We haven't tried to do that, and we don't have a good sense for which website will take more work, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty. The challenges are different with each. With OpenFill, it's building something more or less from scratch, which may take. So that is its own endeavor. And then with GiveWell, there's already a great deal of content that exists, and the challenge there is organizing and creating the path through the website that makes sense given all the information that's there.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that this is all successful, I think this will be a topic that deserves a little more scrutiny in the future. But I mean, I think it's okay so far.
That's right.
So, Tom, what do you mean by that? More scrutiny?
Well, not necessarily scrutiny, but just some. I think having some sort of principles about how the financial support will work going forward, and I mean, obviously transparency is very helpful, but you know, some sense about what GiveWell's contribution is versus what GiveVenture's contribution is, and how that will change over time. I mean, I think just sort of some basic principles to guide that will be useful, and you know, it's something. I don't think it's an urgent need for it, but I think going forward there will be a need for it.
Do you mean for the Open Philanthropy Project, Tom?
Yes.
So for the Open Philanthropy Project, the current plan is for GiveVentures to cover kind of all of the Open Philanthropy Project specific costs. So that includes the website, that includes contractors, that includes, you know, the design of the logo, etc. So all of those
related to the website, not every Open Philanthropy Project cost.
No, I think Tom was asking about Open Philanthropy Project.
I mean, like, you know, GiveVenture isn't covering all of my salary.
Well, I was getting there.
Oh, okay.
I was saying that we're covering all of the Open Philanthropy Project specific costs,
mm-hmm.
and the GiveWell's contribution is the time of staff who are working on the project. Like,
another way of putting it is any cost that is 100%. Open philanthropy is paid for so far by GiveVentures, and then where it is GiveWell shared resources between GiveWell and Open Philanthropy, that has been funded by GiveWell unrestricted donations.
Yeah, that was not the model I had in my head, but I don't know if that's worth getting into now.
Get into it, everybody.
This is Phil. So just so I can understand where this budget is on, kind of in relation to this issue. So, we're looking at a budget for GiveWell, not for Open Philanthropy, because it doesn't include, for instance, the half of the website that's being paid for that. When we look at, for instance, co-executive director payroll on this budget, the 314 total for 2015, now is that 100% of Holden Ellie's payroll cost, or is there a separate line item, like somewhere on a different budget for Open Philanthropy, or how is this budget including full cost of employees? You know, is there? I realize Open Philanthropy. How separate is Open Philanthropy as an entity, and separate is its budgeting process, and cost, is there any cost allocation for away from GiveWell over to Open Philanthropy other than the specific things like the website?
So this budget is the full, I mean, Holden's and my full salaries. The things that GiveVentures is funding that are not on this budget are the contractors that I mentioned earlier, and the website, which we're talking about now, 50% of the website, and GiveVentures donates our office space to GiveWell, and so that's why that line item is zero and says donated by GiveVentures. That's everything, right?
Go ahead, yeah.
About Phil's question, but is it, as the governing board, should we be looking at Open Philanthropy's budget in as much as how it relates to GiveWell?
So I think that so I think that we should be, anyhow, this is just something that came up yesterday. Like, we should be getting board approval for the, like, contractor payments that are coming from a Good Ventures grant, because that's, like, GiveWell allocating funds. The way that we've... Right, Holden, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, sometimes... So, I mean, basically the way it should work is that, you know, for any expense that GiveWell pays above a certain amount, we need board approval. We've traditionally, historically, separated that process into two parts. Like, basically, one are one-off votes that the board makes over email about specific allocations. The most common one is when we re-grant funds to a top charity or a potential top charity that Good Ventures has given to GiveWell for that purpose. And then this budget represents the allocation of unrestricted funding that GiveWell has and utilizes. I think that we probably should have, though have just, like, dropped the ball on having the board sign off on the, like, contractor budgets, though I don't remember it is. So we'll have to check this. I'll confirm that. But certainly the board as the governing body needs to sign off on all expenses above a certain amount to, you know, that GiveWell pays out, whether or not it comes from Good Ventures or not. Then there's just the question of things that never go through GiveWell. So, I mean, what we anticipate happening for the website is that Good Ventures will just pay 50% to the firm and GiveWell will pay 50% to the firm. And I guess that seems to be outside the scope of the, potentially, though it's debatable, of, like, GiveWell's board of directors.
This is Rob here. Philanthropy? I'm sorry. Good. Does Open Philanthropy have a board, and is there a plan, you know, for that to be sort of a separated entity, or what's kind of the structure now, and what's the vision for the structure in the next year or two?
Yeah, so right now, Open Philanthropy is not an organization. It doesn't have a board. It's a collaboration between GiveWell and Good Ventures. Each of GiveWell and Good Ventures has a board. So if Good Ventures is going to pay for the Open Philanthropy website, Good Ventures has a board, and that board will, you know, do whatever it does regarding expenses. GiveWell is going to pay its part. That's the GiveWell board. So, I mean, everything's going through a board, but there's no Open Philanthropy project board. And there's no Open Philanthropy Project organization. It's a collaboration. Now, you know, in the future, I think Open Philanthropy Project should be its own organization and possibly several organizations. And that's something that is going to take some time. I mean, I think one of the things we had been thinking was going to take some time is just we like being able to flexibly allocate staff. I think that may be something we're able to deal with in the next year. We'll see. Another issue that we're going to have to think about is just structure, like how we, you know, Given that we Open Philanthropy Project may down the line get interested in you know, work that, I don't know, like I think there may be a call for having organizations associated with Open Philanthropy that are not 501c3. So, like, there's a bunch of stuff. Basically, there's a bunch of stuff we have to work on in order to get Open Phil to be its own organization. And our take has been it's just not where we are yet, but we are working on it.
Is there a potential issue, you know, let's say on the Open Philanthropy side, so there's $122,000 going into a website design, which is creating something that's kind of, it's software, it's code, it's whatever, but it's kind of an asset. I guess that money's coming from Good Ventures, but I mean, you know, to the extent that you kind of build up assets, is there an issue with kind of who owns those assets, if there's no actual... you know, registered 501c3 or really independent entity or whatever in terms of Open Philanthropy?
Yeah, so we signed a random of understanding when we launched the Open Philanthropy Project brand a few months ago. And in that MOU, I believe we said that Good Ventures owns, you know, the trademark and the website since we're paying for them and have paid for them and you know, that will include the URL and I guess include the code, although we hadn't talked about the and then I'm sure there are some, I mean, we should pull up the MOU and send it out to people if they're interested, because I believe we also, you know, covered the fact that the content would be kind of licensed under Creative Commons, and so that would be kind of like in the public domain, and so there wasn't an ownership issue over like the you know, substantive content that we're putting on the site. But that, I mean, that is something that we thought about and we talked about and decided on a few months ago. And when, if and when we create an Open Philanthropy Project organization, then we'll probably reopen that conversation about, you know, whether the ownership of those assets should be transferred to that entity.
Did you guys, when you guys were going through that process, did you, and I guess I, in this case, since we're the GiveWell board that's talking here, did GiveWell have, you know, counsel that, you know, legal counsel that this basically is all okie dokie?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I don't believe we did that. I don't remember for sure, so we can go back and look at that. I'll note to do that.
It sounds like it's something that, you know, right now it's probably better to look at this issue a little bit more on the front end before there's a whole lot of sort of potential, you know, money put into this that. It's always easier to work these things out kind of on the front end than on the back end, I guess. And at a minimum, I would think that talking to counsel and saying, you know, we've done this, this is the relationship we envision, you know, is this okay? And if it's not okay, you know, or if there's a, you know, have a conversation with counsel about it. It seems like there's legalities there that I wouldn't want to stumble into without a little bit of discussion and planning there. It sounds like you've done some discussion and planning, but I guess I don't want to trivialize what you've done, but I would say it at least rises to the level that I think having you know, counsel review and discuss would be merited.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I know we had a big process around going through this. The thing I don't remember specifically is whether we consulted our own counsel. It's actually totally possible that we did. I've made a note to myself to check into that, and if we haven't, then I agree we should do that.
Any other comments, questions, thoughts on the 2015 budget?
Rob here. Just one last thing on the relationship between GiveWell and Open Philanthropy. So if it comes to pass that in 2015 OPP does incorporate as a separate 501c3 or other kind of entity, then it seems to me the kind of budget you're providing us here on the GiveWell board that doesn't break out time spent on each respective entity would need to be provided, so we have a better sense about what's going on. At the moment, a loose collaboration, a sense about the direction, at least from my perspective, is sufficient. But when it becomes a separate entity, I feel like more precise detail about time allocation and funding is important.
Okay.
I think we definitely agree.
In the spirit of that, do you anticipate that incorporation for OPP in 2015?
I don't know. I don't have a timeline on that. I am continuing to look into this, and until I have a good sense of what all the issues are and what all the things that we need to think about are, I don't really want to put a timeline on that. What I'm comfortable saying is that we want to do it eventually, and it's not something that we want anyone to be expecting to happen on a particular timeline yet.
Not anyone in the public, but you mean by that also not anyone on the board?
Yeah. I mean, what I know is that we have a lot of work to do, and so if anyone thinks there are issues coming up now that require us separating the organizations within a year, people should know that's currently not the plan, and they should know that we have to talk about that. You know, I also know that we eventually intend to do this. So that's where I've left things for a while, and that's still where I stand on that.
But you give us plenty of
it makes me a little...
Yeah. I'm going to be providing updates.
It makes me a little...
Past that. Yeah.
I missed the last comment. I'm sorry. Can you say it again?
I'm going to be giving updates as we go. I mean, so it's not like I'm... All I'm saying is right now, we're still where we were 6 months ago when I said I envision these eventually becoming separate. I don't have a timeline on that yet.
So I think,
okay,
just for what it's worth, I think in the next year is unlikely. But eventually, but we hope to know more in the next year about the timeline.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll be giving the board plenty of advance notice.
That's right.
Great.
But thank you for the question.
Yeah, I would just say, just circling quickly back to the last point, I would feel a lot more comfortable about sort of the issue that I see potentially. I just see a lot of kind of muddiness here, and unrestricted GiveWell funds spent on content or assets or whatever that are not GiveWell owned. I would think that would at least merit talking to council about that. That would be something that I would be concerned about, put it that way.
So I think there might be a little bit of confusion about the who's paying for what for the website.
It's not even the website.
It's
something else.
I think what Phil is asking.
The website doesn't bother me because that one seems most clearly separated. It's kind of the rest of it. It's salaries and
right,
other things.
Yeah.
Phil is saying is that, you know, roughly speaking, you know, our best estimate is like 50% of expenses from GiveWell unrestricted are supporting OpenPhil. And so just let's, you know, do what Holden is planning to do, which is like check back on the process we went through in putting together this MOU, because like presumably we're creating content that we should be sure that we've made the reasonable decision about like who owns it, given how it's being created.
Sure. Well, for what it's worth, my collection is the content is like under a Creative Commons license and in the public domain, and it's just like the URL and the trademark that are owned by GoodVentures because we pay for them, but we're very flexible. So if like you want to own those, just let us know. I mean, you know, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the next step is clearly just to like go back to the details, check if we talk to a lawyer, consider talking to a lawyer, and then we'll update the board next time around.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one last point. I don't want to belabor this, but, you know, aside from the legal issues, I think just, like I said before, a principle about, you know, what do GiveWell funds go for, what do GoodVentures funds go for, and, you know, what is OpenPhil's objective, and, you know, how does each entity have a stake in OpenPhil? I think, I mean, to some extent, we all understand that, and maybe that's actually clear to everybody else, but it's not completely clear to me, and I think that's going to ultimately guide both the operations and the legal structure.
I mean, just to be clear, I think we've answered all these questions. The question is whether we had counsel look over it on our end. I don't think these are questions that we haven't answered.
Well, do you want to answer Tom's
question? Yeah, I mean, so my understanding of how we determine who pays for what is, I mean, my understanding is that basically we try to separate expenses that wouldn't happen if we weren't working with GoodVentures, and those are covered by a GoodVentures research grant, but those are still paid for by GiveWell. And then I think, I mean, basically, like, each organization owns what it pays for, and in the case of, the office, GoodVentures is renting the office because they have preferences about the office that are, you know, beyond what our budget would have been, at least at the time. And I think in the case of the website, I mean, I honestly am not... I think, like, I know what the principles are. The principles are that, like, each organization owns what it pays for, and expenses that wouldn't happen without GoodVentures are either paid for by GoodVentures or paid for on a GoodVentures restricted research grant. I don't know that I can give a great answer on, like, whether this is the right call to have GoodVentures pay for the entire website. I think maybe, you know, there's an argument that this should have been, the OpenPhil website should have been or should be a 50-50 split in payment and ownership.
What's the structure of GoodVentures? Is GoodVentures a 501c3 or is it some other?
Yeah. Structure? So GoodVentures has a few structures that kind of fall under the umbrella of the brand, but GoodVentures, the initial organization is a 501c3 public charity. It's a supporting organization to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation. There is also a Good Ventures Foundation that is a private foundation, and there is a Good Ventures LLC that is a for-profit investment vehicle. That most of the activity that you see comes from Good Ventures, the supporting organization, you know, including grants to GiveWell.
The 501c3.
And, yeah, basically all of the grants we make, more or less. You know, there are a couple that can't be made by the 501c3 that can be made by the private foundation, such as to a private operating foundation, like a grant we made recently on the History of Philanthropy Project. So those come out of the private foundation when necessary, but most of the grants come out of the public charity.
Is the memorandum of understanding, is that the MOU, is that, like, do you know, is that between GiveWell and the 501c3 or one of the other entities or multiple of the other entities or what?
Sorry, I just misspoke. Okay. The supporting organizations are 509A3s. But they are public charities. They're just not the, I just wanted to clarify on the, like, specific IRS category that they fall under. But the MOU is between the supporting organization and GiveWell. And it was reviewed, it was recommended to us by Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which is our parent organization. And it was reviewed by them and approved by the Good Ventures Board.
Okay, that answers my question. Yeah, thanks. I have an entirely different and probably minor question about this 2015 spreadsheet here. The bottom line item shows projected revenues, which looks like a quarterly figure that adds up to $2.1 million and change. And then there's a projected expenses number, which it might just be a spreadsheet error or something like this, but it's it doesn't match the total expenses up. You know, the total expenses by quarter is ranging in the $500,000 to $600,000 range and $2.2 million for the year. But then there's this projected expenses, which is much, much higher, you'd, between $1.8 and $2.4 million, presumably by quarter because it's lined up that way. But I don't know if that's really what it's intended to be or what that line item is.
I'd chalk that up to spreadsheet error. It's so don't just you can ignore that line.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so bottom line, we're looking at approving a budget for a little over $2.27 million in 2015 expenses against projections against $2.16 million in projected revenues, correct?
That's right. Yep, that's correct.
And that's exclusive of that does not include donations that are that's the unrestricted money. That does not include donations that are intended to be re-granted or what have you.
Right. All of that is excluded from this page. The biggest portion of that are the donations to be re-granted to top charities.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments on this, or should we move to vote? All right.
We're ready to vote.
Great. So how about the folks on the phone just vote? We'll just do the quick voice vote, if that sounds good to people.
All right. This is Rob. I approve the budget.
Yep. This is Bill. I approve.
Bill approves.
Bridget, I approve.
I approve.
Holden approves.
Gary approves.
We gotta find a
better way. Ellie approves. Yeah, we do have to find a better way. And Tom, I think did you vote? I think you might have been overlapping with someone else.
Yeah, I did vote and I approved.
Great, thanks. All right. I mean, I think the next we're done with the like formal agenda of things we have to get through in this meeting. I think our plan for the rest of the meeting was to give a general update on what's happening at GiveWell. But before we do that, does anyone have any questions that they would really like to see us cover during this time? If not, we can give an update and you know, hopefully not keep you too long.
I'd be curious for just a quick rundown of how the research events went and if any major questions or opportunities or issues sort of arose that you guys, that got kind of stuck with you guys.
Sure. I think we had the research event here in San Francisco last night, and we had one in New York a couple weeks ago. These are events we hold twice a year, and we are primarily inviting people who have donated to our recommended charities to give them a chance to meet us, meet each other, and be able to engage with our research in a way that doesn't require reading through all the reports on our website. There was no major takeaways or anything like really substantial or surprising that happened. Certainly the event that happened here last night, we felt like it had good turnout. There were about, I think, 30 to 40 people here, in addition to staff who were, engaged in asking questions. At last night's event and in the one that we held in New York a couple weeks ago, we spent, half the time roughly on GiveWell's top charities and the other half on OpenPhil. Mostly the group of attendees overlapped between both events. There were a few people who left after the first half or came specifically for the second half. We'll be posting recordings and transcripts of both of those events in the next few weeks. I don't know, Holden, did you have anything you wanted to add? Tom, is there anything in particular that, I mean, there were no major updates that we would, be hoping to share from these events, but if there's anything in particular you were looking for, I'm happy to try and address it.
No, not in particular. I have some impressions, but I don't want to sort of throw this open up conversation. I think we can talk about nuances later. I'm mostly kind of interested in what you guys think out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the big picture is I think these events still seem like a really great way to, while spending a relatively small amount of time, talk to a number of the donors who support our research. Many of the people who attend are some of our, biggest fans or kind of like biggest supporters. And so one of the things we've done some like smaller events with more select groups of donors on very specific topics. And I think it's possible it's something we try to do more of because they're relatively easy for us to put together and run. And I think they have pretty good impact in terms of maintaining and building our relationships with the donors who use our research. Great. Well, I guess I'll give like a very kind of quick overview of some of the major things happening at GiveWell overall and our top charities, and then maybe Holden will give a quick rundown of some OpenPhil stuff. I'm not planning to, obviously the biggest work that we do is the substance of the research, and I'm not planning to get into that unless people have questions. If you do, I'm happy to talk about it. So I think the biggest change in GiveWell over the past year and a half is that we've really grown significantly as staff. We went from 5 people at the beginning of 2013 to 19 full-time staff today. And, that has meant that a lot of our energy is going into or has gone into recruiting and managing and trying to build the organization. The place where that's had the most concrete benefit so far, because this has been a very long path towards recruiting and managing and building this capacity, has been on the GiveWell top charities side of things, I think. This was the year where we covered more charities in greater depth than we ever have. And that was a lot of the fruits of this labor of building up staff over the recent years. In particular, Holden and Alexander, who's another senior research staff member, spent almost zero time on the top charities work this year. And, my role was even, kind of on a day-to-day basis, significantly diminished from the work that I had done in the past. And, I think it was really kind of an exciting outcome for us this year that we were able to do so much with this group of people who've come on. We were able to just do more than we had before. And so far, the response to that from the donor community has been, you know, has been very positive. I mean, people are really excited to see that we're able to look at more charities, that in some ways the types of organizations we're able to consider is improving, and we can do more than we were able to do in the past. And so that, you know, to us, the sort of the biggest story, one of the biggest success stories of 2014 was this, you know, seasoning of staff and their ability to contribute. Obviously, this remains one of our major goals for next year. You know, in addition to just continuing to do the research that we do well, you know, we're trying to continue this process of challenging people to take on more responsibility, for people who this year were, you know, individual contributors, to take on more management roles, and hopefully to continue to diminish the time that Holden, to a lesser extent, but me, to a greater extent, spend on the GiveWell Top Charities work. And that goal, you know, seems more within reach today than it has in the past. And you know, this is, in our view, something that's, like, pretty important for GiveWell as an organization, to make it, you know, it's certainly no longer dependent solely on, by any means, on Holden and me specifically, but, you know, certainly get to the point where if we weren't around, and neither of us has any plans not to be, but if we weren't around, that the, you know, the structure would be in place for GiveWell to continue and be a, you know, a great resource of for charity recommendations.
Okay. So, I mean, should we pause there, or should I just go Open Philanthropy update?
Why don't you just give a quick update?
Okay. So Open Philanthropy Project was the main thing I worked on this year. It was, you know, probably 90% of my time. Also Carrie, also Alexander, and also Howie all pretty much focused on that. We had... The main goal of this year was to pick focus areas within two broad categories, one of them being U.S. policy and one of them being global catastrophic risks. Two other categories that we did not focus on this year were scientific research and global health and development. Those are just for the future. Although we actually did, I did a lot of work on scientific research and have, like, pretty good starting points there, and I'm about to start working on a series of blog posts that lay out what we've done. Within each of these categories, what we've tried to do is identify issue areas we want to work on, focus areas. And so the main work we've done with U.S. policy is we've basically identified a long list of causes that we're interested in, how interested we are in them, why we think they're good opportunities, what we might do if we worked on them. So, you know, criminal justice reform is an issue that we've seen pointed to again and again as a unusual political opportunity due to the growing interest of conservatives in criminal justice reform. So that's one of the areas that we would consider working on. Labor mobility is another one. We've probably talked about that one. That's, you know, the idea that the best anti-poverty intervention we know of is coming from a poor country to a rich country. And, you know, obviously immigration is a highly polarized debate, but even a small difference there in the direction of helping more people getting into the country, which is often not even the focus of immigration reform debates, could be a big deal. Other issues we're interested in: macroeconomic stabilization policy, land use reform, intellectual property. There's kind of a long list. And what we are trying to do right now, and we're kind of doing it, you know, as we speak, it's what's going on, is I think we've got a long list of causes of interest. And for each one, we kind of know how promising we think it is, why we think it's promising, and what kind of stuff we would fund if we did it. And then what we need to do now is figure out some kind of plan for focusing our time on a smaller number of causes. So we think Alexander is probably going to stay focused on U.S. policy for the foreseeable future. So we're trying to just figure out, like, what other hiring needs we're going to have in that area. It means that we are going to have more hiring needs on the U.S. policy front. And so a lot of what we've been talking about recently is, like, the traditional foundation model is to have multiple staff, or at least one staff, who kind of spends all their time focusing on one cause. So you would have, like, one person whose entire job is the criminal justice reform space. Models that we have talked about that are different are, like, trying to cover a larger number of causes with a smaller number of people and look only for the very best opportunities, rather than spending all your time on one cause and kind of having a budget. So it's those kind of debates that we're having right now, and trying to figure out what we want our focus areas to be, how much we're going to focus on them, and what that means for our staffing needs. And I think that's something where we expect to pretty much have a plan laid out in a couple weeks or a few weeks. And then we are behind on our public content here. I think once we feel like we have a plan, that's when we're going to switch our focus from planning to writing. And a lot of this is going to become more public, although most of what I just said is public already, and we have already put it out there. Global catastrophic risks. Howie Lempel has been working on this, and he's probably going to stay focused on it. So there it's a similar idea where we've looked into a lot of the risks, decided which ones we have the greatest degree of interest in. I think biosecurity is probably the one we're most confident that we want to put a lot more resources and time into. And then there's some other stuff like geoengineering, geomagnetic storms, possibly something with related to risks from artificial intelligence, possibly something related to nukes. But those are a little bit less sure. But we've got a basic sense of what we would do in all these causes, what we see as promising, why, what we don't see as promising, why, and then we need to figure out how much work we're going to put in each cause and what that means for our staffing needs. And I think with global catastrophic risk, the picture looks a little clearer. I think we're pretty likely to look for a full-time person to work on biosecurity. And I think there's a bunch of other causes where it'll be kind of Howie's job to be finding outstanding opportunities across a bunch of them, because a lot of these are kind of thin fields where there isn't, I don't think there's a full-time job there at this point looking for opportunities, but I also think that makes them good causes because if you build something up early, it can make a big difference and be very leveraged. For the coming year, I think the first thing we've got to do is finish these planning conversations, figure out who's working on what, how much they're working on it, and who we're trying to hire for politics in GCRs, and then we're going to be going through a similar process in the coming year on scientific research, and possibly, if we get to it, global health and development, which is trying to identify more focus areas and say, what areas are we interested in, which ones aren't we, and for that, we're experimenting with a few different people to help us do that work on scientific research, and we haven't started that work on global health and development yet, but some of the people we're experimenting with, some of them are going to be part-time consultants who are scientists. And we may also try something with in-house staff who are not scientists. So that's basically where we stand on the Open Philanthropy Project.
So we don't need any formal vote on any of this. That's kind of a rough update. That's a general update on where we are. Do you have any questions or comments or other things you'd like to talk about?
Can I hear, this is Rob, a little bit more about whether or not you're imagining the work on Open Philanthropy Project in 2015 and its public unveiling working in tandem with the website redesign? Is that part of what's driving the nature of what you'll be putting online, or is it completely independent of the website? And in particular, a little more, just a slightly more perhaps flesh on the skeleton about what will appear in the categories you're describing online. Is the idea that tell me what you have in mind for how content will appear on the Open Philanthropy Project site.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a huge change from what we're doing now. I mean, it's definitely not the case that we haven't put out any content and we're waiting for a website redesign. It's the case that we've put out a ton of content, and 99% of what I just told you guys, you can find online. It's public, and we've written it up, and we've supported it, and it's on the GiveWell website.
On the GiveWell site,
yes.
On the Open Philanthropy site.
So, I mean, we're going to transfer that content to the Open Philanthropy site, but there's not a lot of interaction here. Like, I think we're doing our work, we're writing it up on the GiveWell site. When we have an Open Philanthropy site, we're going to transfer it to the Open Philanthropy site. One isn't really waiting on the other. Because we have a good enough sense of what Open Philanthropy Project content looks like. We have a lot of it, and
right.
we know what it looks like. We don't need to create more before we make a website. We don't need to make a website before we create more.
Got it. Okay, but so the way the content currently exists on the GiveWell site that is Open Philanthropy content is unlikely to be reorganized or reformatted on the Open Philanthropy site.
I don't think it's going to change much. I mean, the colors will change. I mean, it's going to be, it may be organized differently, like what links to what, but Not yeah. very differently. I think it's going to be pretty similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I have one other general question, not on this stuff, but I don't want to interrupt the agenda if there is other stuff.
I think we're in open agenda at this point, so shoot with your question.
Okay. One of you, it was either Holden or Ellie, mentioned at the very beginning of the call the expectation that in 2015 there were going to be some books or events on effective altruism and what the implications of that were for opportunities for GiveWell. I'm one of the people who's going to be sponsoring one of these events, so I was curious to hear a bit more from you guys about what you thought GiveWell should or ought to do with respect to the strong likelihood that in certain circles, at least, there'll be opportunities for GiveWell to both connect substantively to these book releases or, you know, PR things, and then, if not substantively, just ride the coattails of greater public knowledge about it.
That's right. So let me first just quickly run through what books we know about. I don't know whether or not this is, like, public information yet or not. So, you know, you should, I guess, like, consider it confidential, but some of it may be. Peter Singer, you know, who wrote The Life You Can Save and has been one, there's four books we know about coming out next year. One is by Peter Singer. He's a Princeton philosopher who wrote The Life You Can Save. He's been, you know, a great force for spreading the word about GiveWell, and he's publishing a book on effective altruism that is slated to come out in April 2015. Later, and so, you know, Peter Singer is a well-known intellectual, and so we expect his book to get, you know, some degree of attention. Later in the summer, Will McCaskill, who's one of the co-founders of Giving What We Can, which is a group that promotes giving more to developing world charities, he's writing a book on effective altruism. That comes out in the summer. We don't really have great understanding of what type of response that will get. And then finally in the fall, I believe, Larissa McFarquhar, who's a New Yorker writer, is publishing a book on, I think it's on the topic of extreme altruism. So people who, you know, give significant amounts to charity or are otherwise extremely altruistic. And, you know, we expect that book to be part of the, you know, this general movement of, you know, more information coming out next year about effective altruism. We're not sure how this will happen and would certainly appreciate any thoughts from you about, you know, how we should prepare ourselves to respond. The thing that we do expect to occur is that it seems possible that one or more of these books will get significant attention. The fact that they're all coming out at the same time may increase the amount of attention that comes to effective altruism. You know, we're a relatively well-known entity within the movement of effective altruism, and so that was, you know, the main project we've undertaken thus far to try and be prepared for what we expect to be is additional publicity, is to redesign the website to make it more appealing, engaging, and useful to people who may be finding us for the first time next year. Beyond that, we don't have concrete plans for other outreach.
Okay, so let me just then encourage you in the direction it sounds like you're already thinking. So the Peter Singer book, at least, you know, on the face of it, is likely, as you said, to get some genuine attention in light of how successful he's been in the past in having his work placed in popular publications or book reviews and that sort of thing. And if the flurry of attention that will likely accompany that will happen in early April, that suggests something about the timeline for website redesign, which is pretty aggressive, although I don't really know how website redesigns go, but 4 months seems like a quick amount of time for it. And then the rest of them, it's an open question for me exactly how they're going to figure in, but just as you said, the Peter Singer book has effective altruism in the title. You got GiveWell is discussed prominently in the book. So
that seems, you know, surefire in terms of bringing people's attention to what you get, what you do, and finding out a variety of ways to use the public relations opportunity would be great, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, just on the narrow point, I think it's possible that we will miss the Peter Singer publication. We don't know exactly what the release date is. It is aggressive.
April 8th.
So I think it is unlikely that we hit April 8th with the website. So that book will probably come out before the redesign is completed.
It seems like a missed opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, I mean, when Peter Singer's last book came out, I mean, he was touring and promoting, and we were getting benefits from it for the whole year and really ever since then. So I definitely, like, it would be nice to have the new website up the day the book comes out. I also don't think it's binary.
Yeah, I agree entirely with that. I don't know, embarrassment or irony or something in saying what I'm about to say in light of my position here at a university. But having something like a media kit or that's on the existing, you know, if and when a reviewer picks the book up to write up a book review and thinks, I've never heard of Give Well, I should figure out what they're about beyond what Peter Singer says. Making the opportunity for that person to learn efficiently and easily what it's about would be great, because you're then, it's not just someone reads the book or sees his name or sees effective altruism, but you're written into the coverage of the book, which, as I say, I think is likely, relative to the other three books you mentioned, to be much more extensive.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it probably makes sense to, Rod, if you have other like concrete suggestions for things we should do, or you think it's worth scheduling a call to talk about the ways that we should prepare for the release, I'm happy to do that.
Sure.
And
I that'd be good. I do have some other ideas, and I can tell you more about an event. He's coming to Stanford on the 8th and 9th of April to do a talk about it, and there might be some opportunities there for you guys to be involved. If you haven't been contacted already, you might have been contacted already.
Cool. So I'll follow up with you after the call to discuss just other ideas around the books.
So just a semi-related thought balloon here. Have you guys ever discussed or given much thought to the idea, especially if kind of the movement, the broader movement for effective altruism has seemed to have been growing along with GiveWell over the last few years, of maybe trying to organize a conference on the topic to bring kind of not just to show off GiveWell's research,
yeah,
but to kind of bring all the folks together under one umbrella.
Yeah, so there's
and
an
as well, not only the Go ahead.
Yeah. There's an annual Effective Altruism Summit. It's in Berkeley, and it had the second year this year. I gave a keynote at it. I gave a keynote at it last year, too. There's also, I think, people put on something in London or Oxford that we haven't been going to. This is something that exists, and I think they're doing a decent job putting it on. It's not a huge conference, but I think it is good for this to happen, and it's happening. We don't organize this. This is organized by, I think it was originally organized by an organization called Leverage Research, and now I don't know who officially does it, but I think there's a group called Center for Effective Altruism, and they're kind of the umbrella that includes Giving What We Can, and also 80,000 Hours, which is, you know, an organization devoted to helping people do the most good at their careers. And so they've been putting in a lot of the effort, and Will McCaskill is with them, and he's one of the ones writing the book. So they've been putting in a lot of the effort to promote the idea of effective altruism, the name effective altruism. I feel like they've probably been pretty heavily involved in the conference. I don't know for sure.
Any other questions or thoughts? If so, now's a good time. Otherwise, I think we'll just wrap up. Okay, well, I guess we'll wrap up. So thanks everyone for joining. And you know, if anything comes to mind, any questions or comments that you think it would be helpful to talk about, don't hesitate to shoot us an email. You know, obviously we're always happy to chat with you. Otherwise, thanks so much. Have a good holiday, end of the year, and holiday season.
Yep, thanks everyone.